Well, let's celebrate. We have a lot of reasons to celebrate today.
Amen.
We were physically able, mentally willing, and spiritually compelled to come spend time together in prayer, and song, fellowship, and worship. What an honor. We're moving into the fall of 2022. Karen and I are blessed to be here today. Welcome to the Zoomers. For Karen and I, it's been a very tough year, and it's been a wonderfully blessed year. I was looking at the sign this morning right here. It says, "Preach the Word." Someone once said that we should preach the gospel daily, and when necessary, use words. This is one of those situations where it's going to be necessary to use words. I was thinking this week about the different ways in which we preach the gospel and honor God, demonstrate our faith in our homes, with our spouses, children, grandchildren, at work, with supervisors, co-workers, and customers, and out in the public, with people we know and perfect strangers. There are countless simple and subtle ways that we cultivate our faith and give away God's grace. A few years ago, I was in a grocery store line with Karen, and there was a woman behind us that commented that she liked Karen's purse. And they started to chat. I moved forward, putting the groceries in the line, and started bagging them up. When we got into the car and started heading home, I mentioned the encounter to Karen, and she began to tell me about the woman that she just met. I was amazed at how much information she suddenly knew about this woman's history. How on earth can you learn that much about someone in a grocery line? Karen was telling me about how the woman is struggling and with some significant family issues, and she was telling me, you know, that that the woman's daughter-in-law's cousin's sister, and I mean, she knew the whole family tree, all in the line. As Karen was speaking to me, the information that she was reporting and that she had gathered, it wasn't just about speaking the information. She clearly made a connection with the woman. I was humbled and impressed, and I must still be impressed because I'm still remembering it. Whenever I come home to share a story about a person or a situation, I need to remember to bring information. I got to bring details. Proverbs 16:24 says that kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and good for the body. The word clearly indicates that kind words are mentally and physically healthy, even for the giver of those kind words. Kind words is one way that we preach the gospel. God reveals himself to us and others through his word and through the words we hear and the words we speak. I was talking to my oldest daughter this week. She lives outside of Atlanta and sent me some beautiful pictures of the fall colors that are back there right now. We don't get much seasonal change around here, and I'm okay with that. But the pictures were stunning. My daughter Christina was overjoyed by God's beauty in the fall, the cycle of the seasons. God reveals himself to us through his creation. We went on to have an awesome conversation about how God reveals himself, about his presence in everything. Romans 1:20 says that, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been so that people are without excuse." God reveals himself through his prophet, to his people. John the Baptist was called by God to serve and to baptize, telling others of the coming of the Christ. John wasn't an ordinary man, not in the way he looked or the way he acted. He was not a popular guy either, at least not with the local religious leaders. The local religious leaders were not impressed and assumed that he was way off the mark since he wasn't doing things according to their traditions and beliefs. But that didn't stop him. He was called, clearly committed, and served, eventually making the ultimate sacrifice. In the 14th chapter of Matthew, Jesus hears about the death of John the Baptist and withdrew himself to a private place. Jesus is both God and man. The scriptures reveal that Jesus felt pain and grief just like we do. He likely withdrew to reflect, recharge, and then return. While Jesus was grieving the death of John the Baptist, people followed and found him. And in that situation, Jesus demonstrated how God reveals himself through increase. First, Jesus acknowledged that the little bit of food that they had came from God. Then he began to give it away. What little bit they had, they gave away. Only then did God reveal himself through increase, through faithfulness. Think about that. We acknowledge what God has given us, and then we give it away. That's not how the world works. That's not how the world would have you believe at all. When we give of our resources and of our time, our hearts, and our minds, we give the fruits of the Spirit which dwell and reside in us. And God is always faithful in meeting our needs. We've seen it again and again in our lives. No matter how much of God's grace we give away, we will never find ourselves short on grace. I met a man about 20 years ago. His name's Eddie Perez. Eddie has an almost unbelievable past, the kind of life and mindset that nightmares are made of. A very treacherous and scary person, even amongst a culture of ungodly and scary men. The transformation in Eddie's life after God called him has blessed my life and now blesses the lives of many others. Eddie Perez is a new creation in Jesus Christ. He's now Pastor Eddie. Eddie was called and now he serves time, words, actions. In an unlikely series of events, Eddie is now the chaplain at the Santa Barbara County Jail. It is only the hand of God who could have orchestrated the transformation in Eddie's life, and only God could have opened the doors that Eddie has faithfully walked through. Eddie brings the gospel of Jesus Christ to criminals and gangsters daily. God called him to also start Impact Ministries. They work with women and children that have been trafficked and exploited. He shared with me story after story of salvation and redemption in Jesus Christ among the outcast, under discarded and overlooked. Eddie has a heart for the people he works with because God gave him that heart. He can identify with them because that's where he came from. Eddie comes to speak with the men at New Hope regularly. In fact, he's scheduled to be here this week. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. God's word reveals that he is in the business of shaking things up. As I've observed others honoring God and demonstrating their faith, it is encouraged and cultivated and fostered every step of my journey. You are what counts. God reveals himself to me through you. New Hope, where I work, is a men's transitional home. Traditionally, neighborhoods aren't particularly welcoming of our type of community. People tend to think that a place like New Hope is necessary and a great idea. They just don't want it in their neighborhood. They call it NIMBY, not in my backyard. We are mindful of people's preconceptions and misconceptions of a community like New Hope, so we try real hard to be good neighbors. It's important to us. It's also a demonstration of our faith. One day a man knocked at the door of New Hope and he said, I've seen that you got a lot of men here. I knew he was a neighbor, and so when I go to the door and one of my neighbors is standing there, I was a little anxious. I've seen that you have a lot of men here. Do you think a couple of them can come down and to my place and help with some chores? I was so excited by this man's acceptance and willingness to reach out to us. I said, yes, sir, I'm certain we can help you. To have a man knock on the door, willing to look past the normal judgment and to ask for support was a real blessing and continues to be so. Daryl's the man's name and Joan is his wife. They're an elderly couple. That was over 2 years ago. We've developed a wonderful relationship with Daryl and Joan. They come over for barbecue, spend time with the men. We've helped support them on countless projects and continue to do so. Daryl is currently mentoring one of our participants, Adam. He's teaching him how to rebuild Model A's, which is kind of his thing. He's into old vehicles. I was speaking to Joan last week, and I told her how good it was that Daryl was taking time to mentor Adam. And she said, I'm going to tell you what, Ken. It's been a real blessing to have Adam around. It's helped him both health and his attitude. This is real. I could tell that Daryl was feeling lonely and overwhelmed by all the tasks that he has at hand. She said, we are the ones that have been blessed. And that's how it works, isn't it? God multiplying. The giver receives more than he gives. Those who serve are served. I spoke with a couple of faithful young men on Friday who were referred to me by a common acquaintance. They're in the beginning stages of opening a transitional home in Newberry Park. They'd asked me to spend some time with them and share some knowledge about the path in front of them. How we got started, how we do things. For me, it's always nice to spend time with others walking with the Lord on a common path. I was asked to give, to serve and support their endeavor, willingly did so. At the end of the meeting, I was rejoicing, reminded again how God works us. They were grateful for the connection and the information shared. They came to be served, but what really happened was that I got served. I walked away from that brief encounter energized and renewed at the end of a very trying week. Often serving and supporting can be trying, discouraging, and draining. I've shared several stories here over the years about the joy of being able to be a part of my granddaughter's lives and watch their development. Through the years, through the eyes that God's given me, it's been quite a blessing. Our youngest granddaughter, Winter, is now 13, believe it or not. I saw things start to take a turn in a bad direction for Winter during the pandemic. She simply is not wired to sit in her room and attend school through Zoom. I watched her attitude and behavior begin to change during this period. Her relationship with her father deteriorated. And things began to unravel. I realize that some of these things are normal for teenagers, but she has taken this to a whole nother level. Drugs, running away from home, completely failing at school, law enforcement, child protection. You get the picture. It's been difficult within my own mind, and really tough to watch the burden that it's placed on Karen. We took winter in for several weeks in the middle of our own crisis this year with Karen's health. It became clear that winter needs a higher level of care than we're able to provide. Several months ago, Karen began to research Christian boarding schools. Countless hours of research, phone calls, applications, emails. Because Winter was adopted, she falls under the jurisdiction of the county behavioral health system, who had attempted some minor interventions, none of which were active. So our prayer and effort went into developing a plan to get our granddaughter in a place that could possibly really help. Long story short, behavioral health would not sign off on sending Winter to a Christian boarding school. They had a plan in place and wouldn't hear anything different. Karen warned and pleaded with them that Winter's situation was going to get worse if she stayed on the current plan, and it did in a big way. Eventually, all avenues that we attempted to go down were closed, and the court system stepped in and removed Winter from the home this week. As predicted, by this time we were frustrated. We saw this coming. We can tell when things are going in a bad way, when someone's on a bad path and they need an intervention. And we were feeling helpless, frustrated, and worn out. Our plan seemed logical, doable, and more appropriate for Winter. We tried, right, bud? The day that it became clear that we had no control or influence over Winter's future at this time, Karen said to me, "We've prayed, we've worked, we've served and supported. Now we need to grieve and believe." Then we spoke about Romans 28. Which says, "We know all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Time and time again, we have witnessed how God can and does take the worst of situations and brings them around to a greater good. Never in our timeline, never in the way that we could have predicted. We spent the last couple evenings grieving for Winter, in recounting the specific times in our walk with Christ that God has proven His Word to be true in our lives. We are in a healing process in regards to the things that Winter has endured and the choices that she's made. We are also holding fast to God's Word and redemptive power. Amen. Amen. Supporting and serving, especially in a family crisis, is burdensome. But we are renewed daily to meet the task and praise God at the end of every day, regardless of what it looks like through our eyes and our mind. The only way that we can be prepared to serve and support is through our faith, through what we're doing here today. Prayer, study, worship, fellowship, singing together, time spent with God and with God's people. My encouragement today is to be willing to serve and support, and to be willing to be served and supported. Too often in times of need, our human tendency is to isolate and become discouraged. Let's reach out to others and be willing to let others help us. Galatians 6, 2 and 10 are among my favorite verses. Carry each other's burdens, and in that way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those belonging to the family of believers. We all struggle, and we all people right now today that are struggling. We don't have to do it alone. We are not designed to do it alone. I was speaking with Mike this morning before the service, and he was sharing with me about where the family is, and our families are spread out, and the need is great, and the resources and time are limited. But God is able, because He's not limited. I'd like to close with something I try to often think about and share here. And let's meditate on the reality that our eyes haven't seen, our ears have not heard, and our minds cannot comprehend the things that God has in store for us. Thanks for having us today.
it's a little high for a lot of us.
Yeah, I could go lower.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the simply trusting one? Do you want to do the simply trusting one? I'm not quite sure what the number is. Oh, 275.1.
Oh, there.
That's a new one. Yeah, 275.1. You want to do the, let's see, how do we do the lead-in, the intro?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have one on this.
Okay. Do you want to play the chorus, maybe, the refrain?
Okay.
And just go through that, and then we can go back up to the first verse.
Yeah.